Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis. This is the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is January 10, 2017, or the sheep that 13, 2020, we will start our first service today with a song entitled From Greenland's Icy Mountains. From Greenland's icy mountains, from India's coral strand, where Africa's sunny fountains roll down their golden strands, from many an ancient river, from many a palmy plain, they call us to deliver their land from narrow chain. But though the spicy breezes blow soft o'er sailing's eye, though every prospect pleases and only man is found, in vain this lavish kindness the gifts of Yahshua. The heathen in his blindness bows down to wood and stone. And then he sows a light with wisdom from on high. And they to men benighted the lamp of lofty night, salvation, Lord, salvation, the joyful sound proclaim. Tell us, remotest nation, has learned Messiah's name. Waft, waft, ye winds, his story, and ye, ye waters, roll. Like a sea of glory, it spreads from pole to pole. The poor ransom nature, the lamb for sinners slain. Redeemer, King, Creator, in bliss returns to reign. Jezreel's letter, number one, by the V.T. Harter. This is starting with the original Jezreel letters were first printed in letter form. Later they were retyped and printed in tract form. Then in 1990 they were again retyped word for word and added to this book. Dear fellow believer in the third angel's message, since this is a very timely opportunity to pen a few friendly lines unto you, and since there is no sweeter message than that which comes from Yahweh, I have chosen to greet you with it. Heaven's voice, the latest inspiration declares, is of the supreme consequence. And to every latest sin, and to all of us Seventh-day Adventists, and the duty of every one of us to heed it, is no less supreme, if we are to be spared from being spewed out, Revelation 3:16. With this weighty fact inescapably in view, what grave responsibility is upon the one whom Elohim has charged with taking heaven's message to his people in Laodicea? Consequently, what unforgiving sin would be this should he neglect to seek out every possible avenue for carrying the message to every home that would open its doors? What carefulness, therefore, must he exercise to seek every possible opportunity to give all possible assistance to every soul, and steering a straight and steady course clear unto Canaan's land. hence of this urgent effort in your behalf. For some time now, you have had the 11th hour publications, tracts, and timely greetings. Postmark Waco, including a copy of the 1950 General Conference Special and the White House Recruiter, all bearing the light of the Elohim so directly needed at this climatic hour of the time. For the long-expected message of the sealing of the 144,000, the purification of the church, the judgment of the living in the house of Yahweh, the message unto the latter sins, the loud cry and kindred events, I am confident, therefore, that in your desire to be wide awake, Elohim fearing Adventist, you cannot, in the very nature of the case, fail of being impressed and stirred by the tremendous truth which these publications bear for this time. And when you consider the wide and sober reception accorded to the White House Recruiter as it entered thousands upon thousands of Adventist homes the world over, surely you cannot help but be still the more impressed. Indeed, never has any other truth-laden publication to enter Adventist homes been so widely and so soberly received. An incident to this singularity of responsive reception is the significant fact, which may well be all important to you, that many of those who for very good reasons are not yet openly declaring their stand are already requesting us to make it possible for them privately to take the course which the recruiter announces. I am therefore gratified to announce herewith that it is my happy lot to deploy the entire 11th hour staff to answer in person all such requests. Thus, when one of us is in your vicinity, you will have golden opportunity to have him personally, privately, and in strict confidence open up unto you the message in the connection with the all-consequential events so soon to take place in our midst. Events which inspiration now for the first time brings into the noonday light right before our eyes, and which the prophets forecast in the following words. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Malachi 3:1-2. For the days of the purification of the congregation are hastening on apace. Elohim will have a people pure and true. The signs reveal that the time is near, and the Yahweh will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. For by fire and by his sword will the Yahweh plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Yahweh shall be many, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, unto the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations, unto my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Yahweh, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of Yahweh. Psalm 66:16-19-20. Because the purification now is now the church's only hope, the devil is doing all in his power through the medium of the idolized men, apparently no less pious than the priest who crucified the Savior, to suppress knowledge of it and to create fear, prejudice, hatred, and confusion against the voice of Yahweh, and to blacken the character of his agencies. Moreover, the enemy's exalted zealots, so well satisfied that they have need of nothing, are already, in spite of the heaven's commands, and to the contrary, casting out of the churches anyone who investigates Elohim's message into the latest sin, or who conforms unto it. What, oh, what has the denomination degenerated into? What exceeding folly, too, for it to assume to dictate to its members whose writings they should read and who they should not read, as if they had neither mind nor conscience of their own, and as if Yahweh either could not or would not convict them through their own intellects, but must depend on the intellects of the ministers, who, by their such folly, are unconsciously assuming to take Elohim's place. They are very active, not only discouraging, but even prohibiting the reading of the publications is in itself a strong evidence that the publications contain the truth for this time, and that the enemy wants Elohim people to be ignorant of it. One can scarcely conceive of any other design so well calculated to make of Yahweh's people mental and spiritual invalids, and in consequence to keep them in submissive ignorance of the real, of the fact that the plan of the salvation demands that they be enlightened Christians, able to see with their own eyes and to know with their own hearts what is what and who is who. Both high and low seem to forget that no sooner the messengers of Yahweh appeared in their respective time, Judaism, Romanism, and Protestantism all unwittingly fell prey to this foolish scheme. Their failure to bind forever in darkness the free-minded in their day, though should now be an eye-opener unto us all, that our hostile brethren, too, will fail to bind in darkness forever the free-minded of this day, for the free-minded sooner or later discover that anyone who cannot for himself decide what is truth and what is error is destitute of the Spirit of Yahweh. Having no contact with the heaven and having no part in it, those who have not yet discovered the inviolable law stand face to face with the stark reality that it is high time that they discover it immediately, and that they fully realize that in violating it they are only making absolutely certain of missing eternity, and that even though Noah, Daniel, and Job be their neighbors and they hold tied to all three of them, yet unless they stop breaking this inviolable law, they are doomed. They are damned. Then to all who with closed eyes and heart condemn the work of others, are blind to the disastrous fact that he that answers a matter before he heareth it directly from its source, it is folly and shame unto him. Proverbs 18:13. In the face of these certainties, surely you cannot afford to turn a deaf ear to the voice herein pleading that everyone make a thorough investigation of the contents in these 11th hour publications, which is profuse quantities, are not being freely without money and without price circulated to outlet us here. These publications, you know, unseal the scriptures that constitutes this additional message. See early writing, page 277. All of which have hitherto been sealed and thus enveloped in mystery and surrounded by the question mark, a fact which in itself is absolute proof that the never before have more timely, more important publications entered the Adventist home. Perhaps you are fully aware of this, or should you, however, have questions that you would like to discuss in the private, you need only request that one of us visit you while we are laboring in your vicinity. Also, if you know of other absent-minded, free-thinking, truth-seeking brethren, I shall appreciate your mentioning how many, and if they wish, you may send in their names and addresses either for our mailing list or for a private interview or for both. You may address. Okay. Every relevant scripture consideration dictates that there is only one safe, sane, and honorable course for any of us to pursue when prophetic revelation challenges consideration, especially at this most crucial hour in history. We must shun, as we would death, the spirit which controlled the Jews and the nominal churches, all of whom, as a result, rejected the heaven-sent messages in their respective time. Our only salvation is to determine for ourselves at first hand, free from the influence of others, the certainty and authenticity of the voice that is now crying aloud throughout Laodicea, because the mind that depends upon the judgment of others is certain sooner or later to be misled. Education 231. Only the Spirit of Yahweh, working through our individual mind, can lead us into all the truth if we give ear unto it. The Spirit of Prophecy further warns there is yet much precious truth to be revealed unto the people in this time of peril and darkness. But it is Satan's determined purpose to prevent the light of the truth from shining into the hearts of men. If we would have the light that has been provided for us, we should show our desire for it by diligently searching the Word of Yahweh. Precious truths that have long been in obscurity are to be revealed in a light that will make manifest their sacred worth, for the Yahweh will glorify His Word, that it may appear in a light in which we have never before beheld it. Counsels on Sabbath School Work, page 25. There is no excuse for anyone in taking the position that there is no more truth to be revealed, that all our expositions of Scripture are without an error. The fact that certain doctrines have been held as truth for many years by our people is not a proof that our ideas are infallible. Age will not make error into truth, and truth can afford to be fair. No true doctrine will lose anything by close investigation. Counsels to Writers and Editors, page 35. Precious lives are shined forth from the Word of Yahweh, and let no one presume to dictate what shall or what shall not be brought before the people and the messages of the enlightenment that he shall send, and so quench the Spirit of Yahweh. Whatever may be his position of authority, no one has the right to shut away the light from the people. Counsels on Sabbath School Work, page 28. If the message comes that you do not understand, take pains that you may hear the reasons the messenger may give, comparing Scripture with Scripture, that you may know whether or not it is sustained by the Word of Yahweh. If you believe that the positions taken have not the Word of Yahweh for their foundation, if the position you hold on the subject cannot be controverted, then produce your strong reasons, for your position will not be shaken by coming in contact with error. There is no virtue or manliness in keeping up a continual warfare in the dark. Closing your eyes lest you may see, closing your ears lest you may hear, harden your heart in the ignorance and unbelief, lest you may have it to humble yourself and acknowledge that you have received light on some points of the truth. Counsel on Sabbath School Work, page 29. When asked to hear the reasons of a doctrine that you do not understand, do not condemn the message until you have given it a thorough investigation, and know from the word of Yahweh that it is not tenable. Counsel on Sabbath School Work, 31-32. When a view of the scripture is presented, many do not ask, is it true in harmony with the Yahweh's word, but by whom is it advocated? And unless it comes through the very channel that praises them, they do not accept it. So thoroughly satisfied are they with their own ideas that they will not examine the scripture evidence with a desire to learn, but refuse to be interested merely because of their prejudices. Yahweh often works where we least expect Him. He surprises us by the revealing His power through instruments of His own choice, while He passes by the man unto whom we have looked as though those through whom a light should come. Yahweh desires us to receive the truth upon its own merits, because it is the truth. Testimonies, Ministers, page 106. Beware of rejecting that which is true. The great danger with our people has been that of depending upon men and making flesh their arm. Those who have not been in the habit of searching the Bible for themselves, or weighing evidence, have confidence in the leading men and accept the decisions they make, and thus many will reject the very messages Yahweh sends unto His people. If these leading brethren do not accept them, Testimonies of Ministers, page 106-107. Men, women, and youth, Elohim requires you to possess moral courage, steadiness of purpose, fortitude, and perseverance, minds that cannot take the assertions of another, but which will investigate for themselves before receiving or rejecting, that will study and weigh evidence, and take it to the Yahweh in prayer, Testimony, Volume 2, page 130. Astonishingly, though, the predominant voice within the denomination boldly teaches its members the very contrary of what these heaven-inspired passages of four-quoted plainly declare. Conspicuously, therefore, do these passages expose it to be the voice of the enemy in high places, quietly rocking all to sleep and vigilantly watching that none ever awake them to their great need of the Elohim's truth for the swiftly approaching time of the judgment of the living, the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. This shameless disregard of the inspiration's counsel now stands nakedly unmasked for what it actually is. Another of the enemy's artful inside efforts to keep Yahweh's people oblivious to their mounting peril by keeping them drugged, deeply asleep, in lukewarm atmosphere, perfectly satisfied, and with minds fixed that they have need of nothing and that they are doing a great missionary work, although the Yahweh Himself declares that they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked and know it not, Revelation 3:17. Satan, moreover, could never have fired their minds with the pride and prejudice and fear, all calculated to make them honestly or hostilely regard in any purportedly fresh heaven-sent revelation, and very mindful of the counsel which the enemies of Elohim, while pretending to be friends of His people, pass on so as to keep themselves forever lukewarm and deadly peril of their lives. None of us could ever have fallen victims to this latest sin malady had all of us as a people been studying for ourselves and giving diligent heed unto inspiration's warning counsel in the following passage. The enemy is preparing for his last campaign against the congregation. He has so sealed himself from view that many can hardly believe that he exists, much less can they be convinced of his amazing activity and power. They have, to a great extent, forgotten his past record, and when he makes another advance move, they will not recognize him as their enemy. That old serpent, but they will consider him a friend, one who is doing a good work. Testimony, Volume 5, page 294. Only by giving ear unto what inspiration says and by shunning all voices contrary unto its voice can any of us survive the judgment and secure a place in the soon coming kingdom of Yahweh. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 is heaven's admonition unto all. Only thus can we make sure what Elohim requires us to know and to do so, that he will not have to spew us out of his mouth, Revelation 3:16, but rather that our names be written in the book and we be delivered from the swift coming time of the trouble such as never was, Daniel 12:1. So if you are determined to know for yourself the only heaven-appointed way of escape from being spewed out of this most momentous hour and time, just hasten me a line, the question that I, if possible, or otherwise a field worker contacts you and any others whose names and addresses you care to give us so that all of you may hear both sides. Then one of us shall visit you at the earliest opportunity and shall be of all service possible to all concerned without any obligation to anyone. Okay. This says, dear fellow member, for the only way for you to escape being taken by wolves in sheep's clothing is if you ever remember the fact that the judgment message, the last before Yahshua comes the second time, is what made us a people. That is because the message had come and because it has to be proclaimed. We Seventh-day Adventists came on the scene and we certainly want to stay there until the work is finished. We must not become a back number as did the Protestant churches since they rejected the messages one after another. Elohim forbid that we should be spewed out and lose so late in the day. And what is the truth of the judgment? Well, the judgment, as you know, is in two separate distinct sections, one following the other. The judgment for the dead first, and the judgment for the living last. This we know is so, and we must not let subversive influences, even if they be in the Seventh-day Adventist garb, cause us to lose sight of this truth. Our part of the judgment message since 1844 has been, as you know, to proclaim the judgment for the dead and not for the living as yet. What is the judgment for the dead? ? We have been taught by inspiration that it is to separate the good from the bad, not bodily, but in the books, because before the resurrection, the dead have no being or portion and anything that is done under the sun, Ecclesiastes 9, 5, and 6. This judgment work is to enable the angels to know who is to come up in the first resurrection, and the resurrection of the holy ones, Revelation 20, verse 4 and 5, and 11 through 14, and who is to come up in the second resurrection, and the resurrection of the unholy ones. Unto this end declares Daniel, the judgment was set, and the books were opened, Daniel 7:10. Thus it is that the inspiration calls the judgment work the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14. That is, each professor of religion that ever died since the beginning of the sin is now judged, and the case of each decided either to bring him up in the first resurrection or in the second, either to blot out from the records the name of each impenitent sinner, or to blot out forever from the book the sins of each penitent sinner. This has been heaven's work since the year 1844, and every informed Seventh-day Adventist knows it. Now, since the message of the judgment for the living is of far greater importance than the message of the judgment for the dead, it is but expected that the Bible will have more to say about the latter than the former. This is so because the judgment for the living has to do with the living themselves, with the message bearers, rather than with the dead. In importance, therefore, there is no comparison between the two. How will we get the message of judgment for the living? The answer is clear unto all. We will get it in the same way we got the one in the 1844, since it then came through the inspiration and through the Elohim's own chosen instrumentality. It is certain that the additional message, early writings, page 277, too, is to come in the same way. That is, by the inspiration through the Elohim's own chosen agency. Indeed, truth is never revealed in any other way but by the inspiration. See 2 Peter 1:20. As we had to hear the old message preached before we accepted it, we will have to hear the new message preached. And how shall we hear without a preacher? Romans 10:14. And as the old message was unpopular in its beginning, scoffed at, laughed at, ridiculed, and scorned by men of the station and influence, it is certainly expected that the new message and messengers too will be received and treated no better, but even worse than it was. Strictly an individual matter. No priest or prelate could meddle with the conscience of the other, and so it must be now. Every soul is to make his own decision in his secret chamber with the aid of the Spirit of the Truth. Is it possible for one to lose out when the message of the judgment for the living begins to sound? Though he did not lose out when the message of the judgment for the dead sounded, for the Spirit of the prophecy answers us. We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Yahweh has led us and his teaching in our past history. Life Sketches 196. Yes, this is to be our only fear. Let us therefore remember and make positively sure that Yahweh is now to lead us in the same way as he did in 1844 and throughout the ages. Make doubly sure that you follow no other kind of leadership, that you let no man divert your attention from the straight path, that you let no one lead you to believe that Yahweh is now leading through every Tom, Dick, and Harry. This we must not forget if we are to emulate and succeed the saints that have gone before us. And that if we expect to be saved, if we forget this, then as sure as we stand, men will lead us away from the Elohim's message and turn us against his messenger, even as the Jewish priests made their followers turn against Yahshua. Yahweh forbid that we should sin against the Holy Spirit by rejecting his message when it comes to us. Only by strictly following the divine command can we be led right and survive the judgment for the living when it starts to sever the wicked from among the just, Matthew 13:49. Well, the judgment for the living started in 2002, started the Passover, been ongoing now for 15 years. This coming Passover will be 15 years since the judgment for the living started in 2017. What is the judgment for the living, and what happens with the righteous, and what happens with the wicked if they are judged? In his parables, Yahshua illustrates that the righteous as good fish are put into vessels, as wheat they are put into the barn, and as sheep they go into life eternal. They are placed in absolute security, sealed for eternity. But the wicked as bad fish are cast out as tares. They are burned up, and as ghosts they are sent into everlasting punishment. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13:49-50. Here we see that the judgment work for the living is illustrated in the several ways and is variously called judgment. Daniel 7:10. Revelation 14:7. 1 Peter 4:17. Cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14. Purify his temple, Malachi 3:1-3. harvest, Malachi, Matthew 13:30. Mighty sifting, purification of the church, testimony of volume 5, page 80. Concerning this judgment work, the spirit of prophecy has this to say, that the days of the purification of the church are hastening on apace. Elohim will have a people pure and true, and the mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel, for the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yeshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. They have not had the light which has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you, but it may be under a rough and uninviting exterior. The pure brightness of a genuine Christian character will be revealed. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80-81. The fact that the message of the judgment for the living is by far more widely treated by all the Bible prophets than is the judgment for the dead is in itself proof positive that it is supremely important. I can, however, treat of it only very briefly in this letter, only give the gist of it. As shown before, in the judgment for the dead, the sinners are separated from the righteous in books, but in the judgment for the living, the sinners and the righteous are bodily separated one from the other, as inspiration through the prophet Ezekiel explained. And that's exactly what happened in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, at the Branch Davidian headquarters, for Vertus W. Johnson at the head. The judgment began at the Passover 2002, and by 2003, the congregation had bodily been separated. It took a year for the separation to be accomplished, from Passover to Passover, from Passover 2002 to Passover 2003. There was a bodily separation of the wheat and the tares, the sheep and the goats. And let's continue. And the glory of the Elohim of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was unto the threshold of the house, and he called unto the man clothed with the linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side, and Yahweh said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, the Seventh-day Adventist congregation, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry, for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof, and the congregation. And unto the others he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city, and smite, that not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. That started at the Passover 2002, and at Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas, which is called the Branch Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. And they began at the ancient men which were before the house, Ezekiel 9:36. And through the prophet Malachi, we are told that the Yahweh will beforehand send a message, and that after he prepares the way, the Yahweh will suddenly come to his temple, the church, for no other reason other than to purify it, especially to purify the sons of Levi, the ministry. That would be the 144,000 coming out of the Adventist church here, yet in the near future. See Malachi 3:1-3. Then says the spirit of prophecy, only those who have withstood temptation in the strength of the mighty one will be permitted to act a part in the proclaiming of the third angel's message, when he shall have been swelled into the loud cry. The review in Herald, November 19, 1908. Under this starting revelation, testimonies of ministers, page 445, the prophet Isaiah adds, for behold, Yahweh will come with the fire, and with his chariot like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fire and his rebuke with flame of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Yahweh plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Yahweh shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, says the Yahweh. For I know their works and their thoughts. for it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory, and they and I will set a sign among them, and will send those that escape of them unto the nation, to Tarshish, Pool, and Lud, that draw the bow to Tubal and Avan, unto the nations, and to Tarshish, Pool, to the isles afar, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations, upon the horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, of my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith Yahweh, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of Yahweh. Isaiah 66:15-20. Since the slaughter predicted by the prophet Isaiah takes place among those who profess to be sanctified and purified, falsely believed to have need of nothing more, and since those who escape from among them are sent unto the Gentiles to preach the gospel, five distinct and supremely important points stand out plainly. Number one, since the victims of the slaughter are those who against their Elohim given knowledge indulge in the swine's flesh and other abominations, and since those who escape are versed in the gospel work enough to be sent to preach it unto the Gentiles, the slaughter therefore is seen to take place in the Seventh-day Adventist congregation. Number two, those who escape according unto the Ezekiel are those who sign cry against the abominations and thus receive the mark of the deliverance. And number three, since they are sent to preach the gospel unto the Gentiles after they escape the slaughter, they are the remnant, those that are left, the future servants of Elohim. Number four, since they are together from the Gentiles, all their brethren, all that can possibly be saved, they are the ones who finish the gospel work in all the world. Five, since there are two separations, one from the Seventh-day Adventist congregation, parentheses, Israelites, and one from the Gentiles, those who escape and those who are gathered in, then the former are the first fruits, and the latter are the second fruits, those of Revelation 7:4 and 7:9. One from the tribes of Israel, and one from the Gentile nations. All these scriptures and many more, my friend, as you plainly see, refer to the purification of the church and to the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, Malachi 4:5, and to the judgment for the living and the gathering of the saints, the harvest of which every prophet has written, some more and some less. Since this is so, you certainly see that our elders are now doing what the priests and Yahshua's day were doing, and also what the religious leaders down through the Reformation were doing, and are no less determined to keep this message away from the laity and to thereby deceive even the very elect, 144,000, the very first fruits of the harvest, those who are to survive the judgment in the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17, the future servants of Yahweh. If this is not the enemy's aim behind these hostile elders' doings, and if this truth can be refuted, they would not act like madmen, but then shun a discussion with us, would not push us out of the churches in the hope that we can not come in contact with the lady, would not advise you not to read but burn our literature, and would not threaten to excommunicate you for stating this message, but would sit down and refute it if it is incorrect, as they sit down with all others that disagree with them. Can you see that the spirit which is now manifesting itself through these truth-hating brethren is the very spirit which manifested itself through the Jews and through the enemies of the truth during the Protestant Reformation and also in the beginning of the 1844 movement. Do you not see that because they cannot attack this message on its own merits, they get personal, attack the man in the charge and resort to character defamation, to gossip and falsehood, and unto anything in the hope of turning you against the message and the messenger? The Spirit of Christ predicted the crime in these words. I saw that the very spirit of the perjury that would turn truth into the falsehood, good into evil, and innocence into crime, is now active. Satan exalts over the condition of Elohim professed people. Testimony for the Church, Volume 5, page 94-95. For the elders to tell the laity what to read and what not to read, who to talk to and who not to talk to, who to let in their homes and who not to, is to make dose, automation, and spiritual invalids of them. For the elders should be told that they are taking even heavier burdens upon themselves than did the Jews or the ministers in our former churches, while many of us were studying the Advent message. They can be helped if the laity tell them that this is a matter to be decided between the laity and their Elohim, that if anyone is to get into the kingdom, he must get there on his own Elohim-given ability. Show them what the Spirit of Elohim say in the following. Precious light is shining forth in the word of Yahweh, and let no one presume to dictate what shall or what shall not be brought before the people. In the message of enlightenment that he shall send and so quench the spirit of Yahweh, whatever may be his position of authority. No one has a right to shut away the light from the people when a message comes in the name of the Yahweh unto his people. No one may excuse himself from an investigation of his claim. No one can afford to stand back in the attitude of indifference and self-confidence and say, I know what is truth. I am satisfied with my position. I have set my stakes, and I will not be moved away from my position. Whatever may come, I will not listen to the message of this messenger, for I know that it cannot be true. It was from pursuing this very course that the popular churches were left in partial darkness, and that is why the messages of heaven have not reached them. Council on Sabbath School Work, page 28. This is what the phrase religious liberty means, my friend. Isn't this not the proper, honest, and honorable way to deal with the situation? Are you to follow men's sayings, or are you to follow Yahshua and his truth? Tell those who are hostile elders that their fight is not against the shepherd rod, but against Elohim and against their own soul. Those who train the mind to seize upon everything which they can use as a peg to hang a doubt upon, says the Spirit of Prophecy, and suggest these thoughts unto other minds, will always find occasion to doubt. They will question and criticize everything that arises in the unfolding of the truth. Criticize the work and position of others. Criticize every branch of the work in which they have not themselves a part. They will feed upon the errors and mistakes and faults of others until, said the angel, Yahshua Messiah shall rise up from his mediatorial work in the heavenly sanctuary and shall clothe himself with the garments of vengeance and surprise him at their unholy feast. And they will find themselves unprepared for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Their taste has been so perverted that they would be inclined to criticize even the table of Yahweh and his kingdom. Testimony for the Church, Volume 5, page 690. The separation continues the spirit of the truth. It causes pain and bitterness under both parties. It is a variance of which Yahshua declares that he came to bring, that the converted will feel a continual longing, desire that their friends shall forsake all for the Yahshua. knowing that unless they do, there will be a final and eternal separation. For the true, yes, Christian cannot, while with unbelieving friends, be light and trifling. The value of the souls for whom Yahshua died is too great. Testimony for the Church, Volume 5, page 83. For it is the variance which the Yahshua declares that he came to bring. But the converted will feel a continual longing desire that their friends shall forsake all for the Yahshua, knowing that unless they do, there will be a final and eternal separation. For the true Christian cannot, while with the unbelieving friends, be light and trifling. For the value of the souls for whom Yahshua died is too great. Testimony for the Church, Volume 5, page 83. Believe me, my friend, that if the message of the judgment for the living had not been divinely revealed unto us, if it was less serious than it is, if it had not been as clear as crystal, and if we were not commanded to bring it to you, we would not be hunting Elohim's misled people in the rocks and the mountains, Jeremiah 16:16, as it were. We would not have been put under such a heavy burden and expenses by going from door to door throughout the Adventist world in order to rescue them from the later sin's self-deception. Neither could we, with our human power, so nicely take the insult that are thrown at us almost hourly by men and women who profess to be serving Yahweh. In this time, says the Spirit of Yahweh, the gold will be separated from the dross in the Church. True righteousness will be clearly distinguished from the appearance and tinsel of it. Many a star that we have admired for its brilliancy will then go out in darkness. Chaff like a cloud will be borne away on the wind, even from the places where we see only floors of rich wheat. All who assume the ornaments of the sanctuary but are not clothed with Yahshua's righteousness will appear in the shame of their own nakedness. Those who have been timid and self-distrustful will declare themselves openly for Yahshua and His truth. The most weak and hesitating in the Church will be as a David, willing to do and dare. Then will the Church of Yahshua appear fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. Testimony for the Church, Volume 5, page 81-82. These Davids, whom Yahweh is now disclosing to view, will soon be calling on you to lay down Yahweh's plans for you. Please receive these servants of Yahweh and this layman's movement with the same courtesy with which you would expect them to receive you. We come to you with the pure word of Yahweh, and all we request of you is to give us an unbiased and unprejudiced hearing when we call on you in your home. Since you see that this letter contains the plain untarnished truth, then if you hear anyone talking about it, you can help him by asking him to give you something better on these scriptures if he has it, and if not, to let you alone. If you are to help the enemies of the truth, tell them they're drilling the laity, that they have all the truth, that they need no more, that they have the last message, that the spirit of the prophecy says, so although it says on the contrary and the plain falsehood, tell them not the judgment for the dead, but the judgment for the living is the last message, and they do not have it, and instead of looking for it, they are fighting against it. Tell them that the Bible either proves these things so, or it does not. If it does not, then make them tell you where it does not. The mark of Ezekiel 9:4 and the mark of the beast of Revelation 13:16 are here seen to be two opposites, as are the two women of the Revelation 12 and 17, the true and the counterfeit. The beast, we are told, is a man, Revelation 13:18. The demand to worship, obey the beast's command, therefore, is a demand to worship, obey man in the place of Yahweh. Both marks are for no other purpose but for the to define who is for Elohim and who is for the beast. Those who obey Elohim's judgment message rather than the beast's decree receive Elohim's mark. And those who obey the beast's decree rather than Elohim's message receive the beast mark. These two different marks, you see, separate the worshippers of Yahweh from the worshippers of man. And since Yahshua declares that the separation takes place during the harvest, and as you know, as you now see that the harvest and the judgment for the living are synonymous terms, then the conclusion is that as the mark of the Elohim is urged upon the believers of his judgment harvest message in the church, and as the mark of the beast is urged upon the worshippers and the beast during the judgment in the world, the subject becomes clear. The enemies of the judgment message in the church and the enemies of the judgment message in the world are both imbued with the spirit of the beast, both doing the same kind of work against Yahweh's people, first in the church, then in the world. The only difference between the two is that in the world, the mark of the beast is enforced by the civil law, whereas the church, it is not. Though the enemies against the judgment message already have done everything in their power to secure the arm of the law against us, it is now left up to every individual member of the church to either take heed unto Elohim's judgment message and receive his mark of the deliverance, or to give heed unto man's vain talk and die under the slaughter weapons of the angels. Okay, this brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Many years, Swing Those Pretty Gates Wide, a song that I've written. Many years, I'm for a little bit of heaven, and I'm starting to. My heart is set on those mountains. Of gold somewhere beyond the blue. Bells are ringing and angels are singing. Sing those pretty gates wide. There's gonna be a grand celebration over on the other side. Bells are ringing, angels are singing, and the saints are singing too. Heaven has opened its door to the ones God is true. And this event of all time has finally arrived. Celebration's about to begin, so swing those pretty gates wide. I've walked the path my Savior taught me, cause I had to endure. I have my treasure laid up in the heavenly place secure. For the Father and Son and the guardian angel all meet in the person all three. Never for more will I ever forget what they have done for me. There may be people in this world who have a lot to say about the things that's going on as we approach the day. When the final counting will be done and how it will come out, we know there has to be a change to turn things about. People are searching for the hidden treasure in the Master's Word. Many things are written there that man has never heard. And again, he may never be able to understand unless by faith he takes a hold of the invisible hand. For the time has come for everyone to roll up their sleeves. Work for the harvesting of the golden sheep. There's no place in the kingdom for the liars and the thieves, only for the faithful one who takes a hold and believes. Everyone can be a winner, all they have to do is try. Heart and ain't a lot of believing and a whole lot of do or die. So put on the garments of salvation and come along with me. Together fly for the magic smoke cake that will bring me eternally. Bells are ringing, the angels are singing, and the saints are singing too. Heaven has opened its doors to the ones tried and true. For the grandest event has arrived, time to get your end. So swing those pearly gates wide and let this celebration begin. Bells are ringing, angels are singing, and saints are singing too. Heaven has opened its doors to the ones tried and true. For the grandest event of all time is finally arrived. For the celebration's about to begin,